Hey everybody, Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain. Hope you're doing well. So, interesting little phenomenon, I guess, kicked up over on Twitter / X, and it just seems to keep on cooking, so I thought I would talk about it. This is a fellow, Ryan Harkness, who posted, he's a pretty small account. He posted something, what is it, a couple of days ago. He posted, whatever happened to Stefan Molyneux? I thought he was pretty innocuous, and they nuked that guy out of the galaxy. And it is now at 3.6 million views, 12,000 likes, and all of that. So, very, very interesting. Very interesting. And people are posting little bits about here and there, and somebody said, he has survived on Rumble barely. What they did to him, they can do to us all, and we know it, and that is why so many are silent. And somebody else says, he was not innocuous. Well, I'd like to humbly agree with that that assessment. I say, he's on Rumble, getting 1,000 views. Now, I do occasionally feel a little twinge and a sting about the low number of views. I remember back in the day, on YouTube, anything less than 100,000 was considered a massive failure by myself and Mike. So, but on the other hand, it's the old question, sort of the way that I say reframe it, but I think it's an accurate view that what I do is I say, would you rather teach the intro to philosophy course with 1,000 students, of whom only say 20 are going to go on to really, really study philosophy over the course of a lifetime, or would you rather teach a postgraduate course with those 20 people who are really going to study philosophy for a lifetime, right? So I view my career as I started with the intro to philosophy, and I have graduated to the postgraduate school where I deal with people who are really, really, really interested in philosophy. So he's just one website over, homie. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody wrote, yes, this makes me sad. He was obviously soft-hearted if you listened enough, just hard-shelled where and when he had to be. I learned a lot from this gentleman. That's very nice. Thank you. Somebody wrote, he was, and likely still is, an online cult leader. Ah, yes, the cult of speak your mind, be honest with people in your relationships. You don't have to deal with relentless abusers, and you should go to therapy, and here's the reason and evidence and sources behind, and I never tell people what to do, and never take anyone's money except for donations, and give away my books for free. Yes, absolutely. But, you know, so people just have these words that they use to ward off thought, right? Thought is a demon to the false self, right? Because the false self relies on prejudice and programming masquerading as virtue. It is a kind of demonic possession of language to displace thought. Like language displacing thought creates a false self of aggressive conclusions which can't be questioned. And so people are given these words to ward off thought, like the demon will keep the priest out of the house, right? And so, you know, cult, racist, misogynistic, whatever it is, right? Phobic, this, that, and the other. And so people, it's interesting, I see these words and I'm like, okay, so the demon of hatred, the demon of propaganda, the demon of pretend virtue has taken this person and is using these charged words to ward off any potential thought that might unseat the demon. I completely understand it. You know, squatters move into a house called the soul. They don't want to get kicked out, and the thing that kicks out these demons is thought. And so when I see these words, I just see the defenses of a kind of, it's an analogy, right? But the defenses of the demon of false morality trying to keep the priest of reason away. All right. Somebody wrote, he told Taylor Swift to have babies before she got older. They took him in the night. That is hilarious. I have to say that again. Took him in the night. I mean, it's a chilling reference to the Gulag Archipelago by Solzhenitsyn, but he told Taylor Swift to have babies before she got older. He took him in the night. That is very funny. That is very funny. All right. The race realism got him. Also, they were nuking all Trump supporters back then. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't exactly a Trump supporter, but I did support the truth, of course. Let's see here. Deplatformed more than most, but still putting out content. And then there's the reference to my show, The Truth About the French Revolution, which if you donate at freedomain.com/donate, you get a copy of that for free for the next week. Somebody says, no shit, I used to watch him all the time before the censorship industrial complex went into overdrive in 2020. Yeah. And that's interesting, right? What's been a really, really fascinating journey, which overall I find positive. I enjoy my life more now than I did in the past. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that I realized, you know, and it's when you're bestride the world like a colossus in a sense, and you're, you know, one of the biggest alt media influencers, stars, whatever you want to call it, you feel that you're engaging with an audience that, you know, cares about you. But then it's like, oh, is he gone from this platform? He's one website over. I can't be bothered. That's very humbling, which I always enjoy being humbled because reality is important and vanity is the enemy of progress. And so realizing how little I meant to people, how little philosophy meant to people, that they couldn't go one website over or wouldn't be bothered to go one website over was, you know, absolutely fantastic. Humbling, of course, right? But humbling is good. It's good for the soul. It's good for the soul. And I sort of felt like I was some guy who went to rescue some damsel in distress and, you know, swam seas and climbed mountains and battled tigers and finally got to the damsel in distress who told me to go F myself. She's happy where she is. So that's good. The Molyneux's playlist on YouTube with all of his IQ-related expert interviews was some of the best insight into the topic available to the public. Oh, yes. I've been wondering the same thing. I love Stefan. He moved to Rumble before it was cool. He's still there. The most censored person on the planet, possible exception is Alex Jones, brilliant philosopher and great entertainer also. It's funny, you know, maybe this is still a bit of vanity, but in some ways I take equal pleasure in both being a brilliant philosopher and a great entertainer. So, all right, so why isn't the app back on X? Well, I am. I have been resurrected on X. I have access to my platform. But to me, the analogy would be that you put a lot of time into a relationship with a woman. You put several years into a relationship with a woman, and you have these rules with her, right? Like, we don't yell, we don't hit, we don't scream, we don't call names, we talk each other out reasonably and so on. And it's mostly okay for, you know, say 5 years. And then she goes completely mental, drains your bank account, and sets fire to your car, trashes your house, and disappears into the wind. And then a couple of years later, you get a message from her with no context saying, fine, I'll take you back. And it's like, I think we're going to need a little bit more of a conversation than that, right? Let's see here. He was effective. Interesting. He was canceled only because he told women over 30 they were unlikely to have children or more unlikely to mate. I don't remember saying that. Who knows, right? I've said a lot of things over the last 18 years. I don't think that's certainly not what I believe. What I believe is that for a woman over 30, I always get that Harry Belafonte, Matilda, 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 she take me money and run to Venezuela. Women over 30, women over 40, he does that in concert, which is kind of funny. But then nobody sings. $500 friends I lost, betting it on the captain's horse. Don't you know that Matilda, she take me money and run to Venezuela. It's a great song. I mean, that's the only verses. You just keep doing that until you die. But I think what I would have said here is something, because I'm a free will guy, so I wouldn't say that it's impossible, what I would say, or unlikely, I would say that a woman who's over 30, who's single, is going to have to change her methodology for choosing mates because she was not able to secure a husband when she was in her peak attractiveness, and therefore she's going to have to adjust her expectations. She's going to have to change her selection metric. All right. He started to notice a bit too much. Guy was a bit of a stick in the mud sometimes. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed his content, but it almost felt cult-like too. A bit of a stick in the mud sometimes. I actually think that's a very honest and fair assessment. I'm fine. I'm fine with that. Well, not that it matters what I'm fine with or not, but people say the history of your enslavement is actually the story of your enslavement. He literally moved one website over. He's on Locals Rumble and his own website, Free Domain. People didn't want to get off YouTube, even though they actually learned how evil Google is, as if they didn't know already. So that's nice. Now that song's stuck in my head. Bring him back. I can't listen to that. Bring it back without the Battle of Nevermore. Battle of Nevermore. Zeppelin. He still does some stuff. He was threatened and removed himself from politics for the well-being of his family. Based, but also cringe. You know what? I would actually agree with. I would agree with that assessment too. He was awesome. Dropped facts. So, I think I remember he had a meltdown or something. I do think he should be let back on. I support free speech. So that's interesting, right? There's a couple of responses. He was great. He was racist. He's a cult leader. He went crazy is another one that people, he had a meltdown. He went crazy. He lost it. He went off the deep end. He lost the plot. He wandered off into crazy town and so on. And he went mad is another magic word that the demon of the false self uses to retain its control over the remnants of the personality. He was great. Good question. Much of my transition to libertarianism and philosophy was due to him. I miss him. He was in it for the he was in it for the money. Ah, yes. The guy who took a massive pay cut from a very successful board-level software executive career. Yes. Just all about the money. No question. Let's see here. Missed that guy. He was a bit over the top sometimes, but overall just great. Also very accurate. A bit over the top sometimes. Absolutely. I make up for my lack of hair by not having much over the top, by being a bit over the top personality-wise. I think he went to hiding after humiliating himself. Right. So that also he went crazy. The other one is, you know, he viciously attacked a listener for donating $1. That's another fine one. Again, it's just, these are just magic spells to ward off thought and curiosity. The other one, of course, which I can still see floating around from time to time. Again, not that I'm Googling myself or anything, but I saw it floating around here, is that he forgot to switch from his alt account before posting as a teenage girl and so on, and that wasn't true. I mean, I posted a comment on YouTube on Google+, which was an old Google platform. I think it was there too, it's many years ago, but I think it was there to replace Facebook or Twitter. And so I reposted a woman's comment from YouTube on Google+, and then it reposted it under that video under my Google+ account, but you could still see the original comment. So that was just, you know, I switched to alt accounts to comment on my own videos as teenage girls. I mean, it's pretty funny. It never would have crossed my mind. I've certainly never posted for myself on alt accounts, but that's kind of funny, right? He decided not to fight back. He had opportunities on other platforms and he turned it down. I'm not sure what that means. I'm also not sure what it means to say he decided not to fight back. Let's see here. This man does not deserve your admiration, pity, or time. It boggles my mind that anyone would defend him today, but it is a testament to what skillful online BSing can accomplish. I always wonder, I suppose, why people are so bothered by what I do. Because when someone bothers, like when what someone does, I consider just, you know, false and bad and wrong. I just don't watch them. I don't think about them. I just disconnect from that kind of thing. So if you are still hating someone, what has it been, over 4 years since my deplatforming? If you're still hating someone to the point where you've got this kind of amount of emotional energy, that would be a good opportunity for self-knowledge. Like, why do I care? And telling other people what they should feel is kind of dictatorial, which I guess is why he's this way, right? He has a free domain community on the Locals app that's amazing. He is going from strength to strength with his content and insights. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. He just put out perhaps his most important book, Peaceful Parenting, The Morality, Psychology, and Science of Ethical Child Raising. Yes, the RK selection type theory, right? People act like Steph doesn't exist anymore. He's just on a different website, and he's still doing, producing incredible work. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. He was good. What was it? I think Andrew Wilson talked about me on his podcast, like I'd dead or been gone to the back rooms or despawned or something like that. I agree with you, actually, but there was something creepy about that dude. Dunno. Why isn't he on X, actually? Creepy is another one of these words that is just ward off the demon. Ward off the priest of thought, so the demon of anti-rationality can retain its dominion. He did an amazing breakdown of Elliot Rodgers. I think so. He was an asshole. One of the original, every problem is women's fault somehow, guys. But his canceling was a portent of something awful now maturing. Every problem is women's fault somehow. Again, you know, it's a caricature and so on, right? So some people cast these ward off the priest of thought on themselves, and some people go into the public space to give other people the language that they need to keep the priest of reason at bay. Let's see here. In 2016, I concluded Molyneux was controlled opposition, which was a few months after I concluded that Alex Jones was controlled opposition. Controlled opposition, I think that means that I'm secretly in league with sinister forces, but I'm presenting myself as an opposer of the powers that be while taking money behind my back from them, something like that. So, I mean, that which is asserted without evidence can be dismissed without evidence. All right. Yes, he touched a couple of third rails and he was digitally assassinated like Milo and so many others who've never recovered like Alex Jones has. It takes a lot of guts, time, and energy to overcome that kind of attack. He's still out there, but he's being severely shadow banned. Stefan was considered at one time the most popular philosopher online, but he's exposed some inconvenient truths. It's kind of the job, right? It's kind of the gig, right? Do 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 do. Let's see here. Stefan, and this is interesting. Stefan Molyneux's story is representative of the transformation of the U.S. right over the past 10 to 12 years. Honestly, I've never considered myself right-wing or left-wing, conservative or liberal. I'm just after the truth, no matter where it leads. After the 2010 election, dissident right commentators began emerging, aided by social media. There was an enormous variety of ideas being shared, everything from Mencius Moldbug to NRX HBD, I think that's human biodiversity, to alt-right and the alt-light of Molyneux. It was a fertile intellectual atmosphere, especially in a handful of cities like New York City. All right. I don't know anything about this. I know what human biodiversity is. I don't know Moldbug, and I don't know who NRX is. Sorry. This culture of a fertile right dissident culture intensified after the 2012 election and reached its peak with the election of Trump in 16. What happened after that is tragic. This culture was destroyed by legal, political, and economic pressure by detractors from both left and mainstream, quote, right. The election of Trump caught many establishment figures on the, quote, right by surprise. They couldn't allow him to succeed, and they correctly identified the new right that had sprung up in their midst as one of his key supports. They did what they could to break it up. Again, I mean, I'm just after the truth. I'm just very, very interested in the truth. If people lie about Obama, I will talk about that. If people lie about Trump, I will talk about that, and so on, right? I mean, people said, and I remember defending Obama on this point, that people said that Obama said, well, you didn't build that, and that's not what he said, so. All right. Narcissism is a hard beast to scare. He has one project, however, I endorse, that is about better parenting. However, he likes to claim that before him, nobody ever did such work, or at least of his magnitude. Completely ignoring Piaget, for instance, is off-putting, though. Well, what I have talked about is, to my knowledge, and I did look for this, but doesn't mean I combed every corner of the galaxy, but I did look for a philosophical analysis of the ethics of the parent-child relationship by any major philosopher. Piaget was not a philosopher. Piaget, of course, he used his own children as subjects and did a lot of work in early childhood and childhood development, which is great and admirable. And I remember when Piaget died, his kids, who were now, of course, fully grown, came to his funeral, and there were a lot of psychologists there who, meeting his children after they'd studied his children so extensively through Piaget's work when they were little, found it quite odd to meet the people that he'd written about so extensively. So, of course, I'm not saying that nobody studied childhood and nobody's advocated to be nicer to children, but as far as a moral, rational, and particularly scientific examination of the causes and effects and ethics of child abuse, nope. So again, I'm happy to be corrected on that. But he was an obvious social engineer, incredibly boring and pretentious as hell. Well, boring, I can't agree with. Pretentious? I don't know. I mean, it's again, these are just words to ward off, right? Don't see, the demons of the false self that inhabit most of the population communicate with each other and are trying to ward other people off from the priests of reason. So this isn't a boring, pretentious as hell, right? Why does it bother you what I do? Just $1, please. Let's see here. He was my gateway into libertarianism as a young man, watched a lot of his YouTube videos and so on. Even I, as a Catholic, loved listening to him. I remember the attacks, and poof, he was gone. I miss his analysis of stuff. So that, and this is from a guy called the Spartan Philosopher. Well, of course, I really do appreciate that, although we would have different approaches to theology, that you listened to my arguments. But it is kind of funny. Obviously, I'm not putting myself in any elevated categories here, but for somebody whose religion is founded upon not giving up on someone who was deplatformed on a cross, having me vanish in your mind is kind of ironic, right? I used to listen to him all the time. His Fall of the Roman Empire video I still listen to on Rumble a few times a year. It's a great presentation. Thank you very much. Too much talk about IQ. He bored people too much. Really? Really? Really, really, really. He was pretty much wrong on 100% of what he said, and people just grew up and out of it. So, I mean, that's interesting as well. Because if I was wrong, I mean, this is sort of the Kramer thing, right? If I was wrong on 100% of stuff, not that he is, it's just a popular meme, right? Inverse Kramer. But if I was wrong on 100% of stuff, I'd be worth following just so you could do the opposite and do well, right? But what's interesting is that certainly in my heyday, like half of what I did was interviews with other people where I'm letting them talk on both the left and the right. And so when I interview people and people say, well, Steph's just 100% wrong on what he says, they sort of forget that half of the content that I was producing at the time was interviews with other people. So he had Free Domain Radio. He was warning about COVID in November of 2019, and they went after him hard. Facts hurt too many feelings, and the cancelers working overtime to point out things that weren't there. He OD'd on the red pills and eventually started taking them as suppositories live on air. That would be quite a show. He OD'd on the red pills and eventually started taking them as suppositories live on air. Boy, that would be a screenshot. Good question. Where did he go? He's still legend, even though a bit cucked. Yeah. I can live with that. He touched on the forbidden topics, and that was it. Right. Am I delusional to think Stefan Molyneux, who apparently has not been here for 4 years, is relatively good-looking? He was just a bit too early, LOL. That and Canada is USSR. Sorry, we did laugh. It's not funny, but it's a little funny. Let's see here. As far as I know, he still runs a podcast and has a website, but it's all under his accord? I don't know. Every social media site kicked him out for speaking his mind. I was just speaking my mind. Reason and evidence, right? Because that's what should happen, right? What should happen, of course, is if I'm wrong and I'm popular, then people should debate me, they should humiliate me, they should prove me wrong and so on, but that's not right. He was openly racist. I think people just actually listened to him and he got the consequences. Yeah, again, racist, just one of these words, right, that people use to ward off thought. Because racism against some groups is perfectly acceptable. So, all right. I remember him well. Comment section on this one, I guess, right? Yes, he got canceled before anyone, it seems. No, I think there were a few people before me. He is a sociopath. No room in society for those. Now, that's what they call projection. Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember him. Just disappeared. Sounds like an intelligent man afflicted with an obsession. That's right. He was obsessed. He just, all he would talk about, he just, you know, and it's like, I think of any shows, like literally in the world, I think of any shows, I have the greatest amount of variety. Good question. So what's with the picture of Bill Burr? Oof. Oof, I say. Oof, oof, oof. All right. I'm Hispanic and I believe his theories on race and IQ, but I absolutely know that I probably banked more than many white people. IQ isn't everything. Of course, that's perfectly true. It's perfectly true, and you should never judge any individual by group averages. It's only useful when you zoom out to societal level. And they weren't my theories. I was just repeating facts and interviewing experts and so on. I followed him back before I discovered Jordan Peterson. Wondered about him. Smart and honest is a bad combo. Threatens the extinctionists. It's rather grim. Let's see here. Injustice. He is a normal dude, reasonable and moderate. They destroyed his life. Why? I think that they toasted a lot of my life's work because I considered my life's work to also include the comments on my videos and social media platforms. And in the future, there will be sorrow at how much of a philosophical discourse was nuked with the erasure, particularly of my YouTube channel. That's a lot of data that was taken away in terms of how people were thinking and what they were arguing at the time. Let's see here. A woman says, he went off the rails and talked about nothing but women needing to have babies. So again, if I talk about a wide variety of issues, but you only think I'm talking about one thing, that's interesting. And that would be a good avenue for you to pursue in terms of self-knowledge. Why is that all I'm hearing about when he talks about a wide variety of things? So this woman says, he went off the rails. Again, I went crazy and I became obsessive and I lost the plot. Yeah, all of this. Again, these are just words to ward off the demon of reason. Sorry, I keep mixing my analogies. My apologies. It's what the demon calls, the demon of the false self calls the priest of reason, the demon of prejudice. All right. He went off the rails and talked about nothing but women needing to have babies and not in a broader need to up the birth rate sense, but like constantly addressing women and instructing them to open their wombs. It was creepy AF. Dude was obsessed. Yeah, creepy, obsessed, went off the rails and blah, blah, blah. It's just, don't listen to his arguments. The guy's just, he's weird. He's weird. He's not a man in finance. let's see here. Yes, I used to listen to him a lot. They got him good. He's still around on Rumble and has a free domain website, I think. They nuked him soon after he started going too deep into the science behind race and IQ. Let's see here. He's in Canada, and folks didn't really push back hard enough when he was banned. So for those two reasons, he doesn't talk about politics much. He sticks to relationships and philosophy like he did in the old days of YouTube. Yeah, it's kind of, I've gone back to my roots, right? He screwed himself when he changed his brand name from Free Domain Radio to just Free Domain. That change killed his SEO and made it way easier to shadow ban him. He is also very much a cult of personality. So a cult of personality is, you should believe me because I'm saying it. So cults of personality don't tend to lay out syllogistical arguments. Cults of personality don't tend to include sources. Cults of personality don't tend to interview people who disagree. Cults of personality don't do debates with people very much opposed to his position. And cults of personality don't tend to engage with intelligent critics in the public square. So again, this is just a phrase, it's a cult of personality, not even a great song, just to ward off the priest of thought, right? Let's see here. He is very smart and well-spoken. Absolutely irrelevant. But what he's trying to do is say that I'm a sophist, right? Like, I'm smart, I'm well-spoken, and therefore I can convince people, blah, blah, blah. I started listening to him in 2009 when he sat in for Peter Schiff on his podcast. I moved on in 2018 and haven't listened to him since. The problem with Steph is he is not humble, and he has overstepped his own boundaries on several occasions. His take on Robin Williams is evidence of him making a judgment call based on little to no information that looked bad, and it became obvious he was engagement farming. So the Robin Williams, I said that Robin Williams, I introduced sort of the concept to a very large audience called the Me Plus, right? I can't just be myself. I have to be me plus making jokes, me plus having money, me plus being really good looking, me plus a great hairstyle, me plus whatever it is. I can't just be myself. I have to be me plus, right? And that was a factor in Robin Williams' life. Now, the fact that we didn't know at the time of his suicide that he also had Lewy body dementia, which may have had an influence, does not invalidate that. It just means that there may have been more than one cause of his suicide. So. And of course, the fact that somebody has dementia does not cause them to commit suicide. There is an underlying pathology, I would assume, that gets uprooted, like in vino veritas, right? It's not that being drunk doesn't make you a different person. It just takes away your inhibitions. So, yes, I talked about Robin Williams and the false self, while acknowledging that he was a brilliant comedian and fantastic entertainer and a great actor as well. His turn in Good Will Hunting was remarkable. So, the fact that there were more layers to something that I was reporting on immediately, I have no issue with. You can't know before you know. And does it actually invalidate? Like, did I say there are no other factors? Well, I didn't say that because there are. There's no way to know that. So when I say here's a major factor and then it turns out there were other factors, doesn't invalidate the main point. But anyway. Bad philosophy and borderline evil practices made him unimportant. I mean, again, it's just a phrase. I don't even know. There's no argument, right? Bum, 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 bum. All right. He went Trumper and was a condescending douche to someone who donated $1. And the funny thing is, too, right? I mean, that's false. I remember very clearly because it became, I guess, a minor little firestorm in our corner of the internet. But I remember somebody donated $2, which, you know, at the time there was a fair amount of fees involved. I got to track it and report it and so on. So it's pretty much a negative donation. And I said, I posted a picture of the donation, just, of course, no identifying information. And I said, I don't mean to sound ungrateful, but, well, that's all I posted. And people went mental. People went mental. Because, and the reason that I said it was that, look, if it's your last $2, don't spend it on me. Please don't spend it on me. If you have more, but you're only sending $2, then that's kind of a power move. It's downgrading the quality of what it is that I'm doing, right? And so I talked about all of this, but, you know, people don't care. He was just mean to someone who donated a dollar. And what that does for women in particular, and it's funny because as my show's always had a fairly strong contingent of women, which has a lot of pluses, as I became more popular, what happened was whenever I could be reframed as being mean to someone who was of low status, women jump in to attack. A lot of women, not all, of course, right? Because he is a neo-Nazi like you, blah, blah, blah. Boring, boring, boring. Stefan Molyneux was brainwashing teenagers, so if he finally disappeared, that would be a good thing. Now, that is, and that's from a woman, Sabrina. So that's, you know, that's really tough. It's really tough because, you know, there are genuine brainwashers out there, like people who, you know, kidnap people and relentlessly program and torture them and so on. One of the things, and it actually does anger me, like there are genuine cults out there that do massive harm to people and prey upon them and exploit them and steal their life savings and isolate them and so on. Like really, really dangerous, nasty organizations out there. And there are genuine brainwashers out there who torture and medicate and brutalize people's minds and so on. And when you hijack those terms because you dislike someone's arguments on the internet, you are actually deeply, deeply, deeply insulting the victims of genuinely nasty cults and genuinely violent and destructive brainwashers. That is a terrible, terrible thing to do. There are real victims of very dangerous people out there. And then lumping me in with that because you're emotionally bothered by something I said is a real insult to the genuine victims of some genuinely bad people. So. I heard he's searching for gold in the Arctic. That's very good. Somebody, Liberty Strike, says he got cancer and lost the plot. Well, I'm not really sure what that means. Let's see here. I'll just do one more, I guess. He's on Rumble and other platforms as free domain. The real reason they took him down in early 2020 after covering SARS-CoV-2 spread and suppressed news and going in-depth on what was happening around the world and the genetics, including the poly basic furin cleavage site with a subject expert. I think specifically after he showed a long research paper trail from lab to lab from a Reddit post that showed the potential development of the virus over a decade shortly after his account was suspended, the Reddit thread nuked, the Reddit was deleted, other people who commented on it with their videos were deleted. And then numerous papers were paywalled or had their URLs changed and underlying research, which wasn't fully researched from Wuhan Institute of Virology specifically, were internally deleted. Not very well-known lore from back then. Oops, yeah. So, yes, I certainly did talk about that as a whole. Let's see here. He was Lauren Sutherland. I don't know what that means. I remember when Heather Haying called him a disgusting human being. Is that Brett Weinstein's wife? She called me a disgusting human being? Well, what can I say? Not an argument. Some didn't like how he forced people to think. So the unthinkables had to act. Of course, I can't possibly force people to think. I just can't pull it. He's still runs free domain and moved to more tolerant platforms like Locals. Listen to him almost daily. Oh, thank you very much. And I'll stop at this one because, you know, this could go on and on. And I find these comments very interesting. And I do appreciate everyone who's commenting. It's good to get a sort of snapshot of, because I'm not part of this world anymore and I don't really think about it. Somebody said, this woman said, he's on Rumble. Years ago, he told me to get my son out of public school and homeschool him or have him attend Freedom Project of FPE USA. I did, and my son attended the Freedom Project Academy, and now he's got a full ride to a Christian university. I owe Stefan an enormous amount of gratitude. Now, again, I don't tell people what to do, so she may have misinterpreted what I said. I may have said, in your shoes, I would, or this might be a good idea, and so on. But that is really, really nice. That is really nice and wonderful, and congratulations. Very much for all of this. And I really do appreciate everyone's comments and thoughts. It's nice to see that people doth remember, and I'm getting this sort of, you know, nostalgia and shot through a honey bran muffin kind of feeling about the good old days, which were, you know, the tough old days in many ways. I really do thank everyone who has stayed along for the ride. I absolutely love what I'm doing now, and I really do appreciate everyone's time, attention, and thoughts. I've not gone crazy. I've not lost the plot. I didn't post in an alt account. I didn't attack someone who sent $2, and so on. So I really do appreciate everyone's time and attention. What's really nice about what I'm doing is I don't have to, and I never had to, I suppose, but I don't have to see things all the time that are, you know, egregiously and totally false, like the exact opposite of the truth about me. I don't have to rub my nose in the stink of brain decay from the average NPC because I'm dealing with this graduate school, people who really think, who criticize, who oppose in very intelligent ways, which I absolutely love and thank you for. And if you'd like to help out the show, freedomain.com/donate, or you can join freedomain.locals.com or subscribestar.com/freedomain. Thank you, everybody. I much prefer the jazz club of excellent musicians to the stadium largely filled with anti-thinking NPCs. So much better life. Thank you, everyone, so much. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you soon.